me in God's Word to the book of Psalms, chapter 107. Psalm 107. In this psalm, the writer gives a few examples of how the Lord delivers his people and what he delivers them from. We'll be looking at verses 23 through 32, where we see how the Lord delivers us from the storms of life. I want to just give you a short overview of these scriptures before you read them. The writer here uses the illustration of people who make their living out on the seas. They go out on the open water, and there they see the works and wonders of God as displayed not only in the vastness of the ocean and all that's within it, but also in the storms that they see. In this particular storm, we'll see that these people are greatly distressed. And after, I imagine, exhausting all of their efforts, then they finally cry out to the Lord. And he hears them and delivers them from their trouble. Verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Tonight I want to share with you a four-point outline that I see here. And in doing so, I hope that you will clearly see the Lord's sovereignty in the storms of life that we face, because he is the Lord of the storm. Verse 25, first we see the descent of the storm. After these people descend out into the sea, a storm arises and descends upon them. And where does it come from? Well, verse 25 tells us that the Lord commanded it. Now, we know the Lord controls the weather, even though we all are guilty of complaining about the weather from time to time. But just as the Lord controls the weather, he controls the storms of life that we face. Know this, the Lord will create or allow whatever he so desires to accomplish his will and purpose. And any time you begin to question the Lord as though he doesn't know what he's doing or that he's not aware of your situation, I encourage you to read Job chapters 38 through 41. It's a wonderful passage where the Lord answers Job in his situation. And basically what the Lord tells Job is that he is sovereign and you need to trust me. And that's what we need to understand as well, that he is a sovereign God. Just as the Lord created this storm that we see here in the scriptures, he has created or allowed the storms that are in your life. And it is absolutely critical that you understand that when you face the storm. Second, in verses 25 and 26, we see the dynamics of the storm. I want to read those again. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. So you see the picture here of how dynamic this storm is. The combination of wind and water can equal a dynamic force. Storms out of the ocean, you know, I would imagine would have to be some of the most dynamic storms you'll ever see because of the power of the waves and the wind. And we've all seen footage and documentaries of that power and the dynamic force that it can be. I think of storms like Hurricane Andrew that hit many years ago in South Florida, or Hurricane Katrina was another one. just storms like that, where just the satellite images alone are, you know, they give off a pretty dynamic appearance. Well, the storms we face in our lives can be dynamic as well. They can come with a lot of force. They can come suddenly, unexpected. They can last for a brief time, or they could last a lot longer. Also, we need to look at the storm and try to understand the dynamics of it if we can. Study them out. Why has it come? We've already established the fact that God has allowed it or created it, but why? Is it a storm of testing or a storm of discipline? If it's a storm of discipline over unconfessed sin in our life, you will know very quickly. Because anytime you try to do anything for God, like pray, study your Bible, you hear a sermon, anything you do to continue in your walk with the Lord, He's going to stop you dead in your tracks. And He's going to put His finger on that sin. And He's going to point it out. It's like He's saying, before you proceed any further with Me, you must deal with this. And we have to, or either He will deal with it. If it's not a storm of discipline, then it must be a storm of testing. The Lord will test our faith. And it's not so that He can find out anything, it's so that we can find out something. We also know that the Lord wants to make us more like Jesus. So He will definitely use storms as a way of doing that. And the beauty of being made more like Christ is that it's a work that God does in you as you surrender more of yourself to Him. So I encourage us all to give more of ourselves to Him. Pray more, study the Bible more, come to church more. Leave our comfort zone and get out into the deep waters with Him and spend time alone with Him. I can't stress enough how important that is. Witness more. We talked about that earlier in our prayer meeting. It's amazing. I found this out in my own life. It's amazing how distorted our thinking and decision-making can become when we stop spending time alone with the Lord. But what's even more amazing is that when we start back spending time with Him, we come to our senses rather quickly and do what we need to do. In order to face the storms of life, especially those unexpected, off-the-chart storms, you will need a heart and mind that has consistently been alone with God. It's a must. It prepares you. Always remember, it's best to be prepared for a storm before it arrives rather than waiting till after it hits. Third, in verses 26 through 28, we see the distress from the storm. It tells us their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then it tells us, then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. So you notice the reaction. Their soul is melted because of their trouble. They are hopeless. They are helpless. They fear for their lives. It tells us they're being tossed back and forth like a drunken man. In other words, they can't maintain their balance because of the wind and the waves. And they are at their wit's end. I mean, we've all been there before, right? Well, we have absolutely no idea what to do. So now they cry out to the Lord when they've reached that point. As I said earlier, it's better to be prepared for the storm before it arrives. But oftentimes, you know, it really doesn't matter. Even when you're prepared, it's still going to be a tough time to deal with it. Because storms can cause us distress. They can knock us off balance. They can blow debris into our minds. They can break our hearts, our spirit. So when you are distressed, don't hesitate. Don't try to fix it on your own. Don't try to search the internet on what to do in your distress. Cry out to God. Pray. You know, we all are guilty of it, but we use our greatest resource, we oftentimes use as a last resort. It makes no sense. So cry out to the Lord. Fall at His feet and lay out the distresses of your heart, because He will hear you and He will deliver you internally, if not externally. Fourthly and finally, in verses 28 through 30, we see the deliverance from the storm. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Here the Lord heard their cry, and he delivered them by calming the storm itself, which in return calmed them. You know, it's always a relief when a storm ceases or passes. You know, we may have some remains of it to have to clean up or something, but it's good to have the sunlight back on your face or fresh air to breathe in. Most of the storms we face in life will fall into that category, meaning they will cease, they will pass, and brighter days will come. However, some storms will last over an incredibly long period of time, and they will be very difficult. Sometimes the Lord will not calm the storm, but he will always calm you. He will give you his sweet peace, his enduring strength, and a blessed hope that can only be found in him. In other words, he will be your desired haven. In closing, in verses 31 and 32, the writer of the psalm calls for us to praise the Lord for his work of deliverance. You know, praising the Lord is very easy after the storm. But dare I say, could we praise him for the storm? Could we praise him in the storm? And we ask why? Well, it's because in that storm, God is in the holy process of making you more like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, the question there is, why would we not want to be more like him? Let's pray. No imitation. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the encouragement that has brought me as I've studied and prepared for it. And I pray that you've used this message to work in the hearts of your people, to just show us that you are our sovereign God, that you're in control, you're fully aware of our situations, the storms of life that we face, and that we need to trust you, and we need to fall at your feet and depend upon you, because you are the Lord of the storm. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.